This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 13th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Gettys.
Let Tim host. How you doing, Greg?
I'm excellent today, Tim. I want you to know that. I'm feeling it. I'm in the vibe. I'm in the flow. I tweeted about having a great day. You're going to have a great day. I'm going to have a great day.
So many great days going around. A great day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Flash drive. What?
I showed a flash drive that I had in my hand.
Oh, no, that's a piece of wood. That's a piece of wood, Greg.
The way you did it.
It's a death loop tchotchke. It's a flash drive. You see
the focus of it, of the camera, kind of like blended it with your skin tone, and it's pretty skin tone color. So it just looked like your hand.
And I got this flash drive. Oh, my goodness. Tim.
Yeah.
Can you believe this is in housekeeping, but let's do it here. Can you believe Kind of Funny's game of the year?
No, I can't.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I explained this whole thing to Gia yesterday. I explained to her. I was like, look, we had one of I'm going to say it. We had the best games cast we've ever made yesterday. It was fantastic content. Great team of people working on it. And like the way
no
we did
it, in the chat for what it is. No spoilers.
Go check it out. Go check out the games cast. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Yesterday was a special moment at Kind of Funny. And I feel like we've been having those a lot recently, but it really kind of just crystallized everything of like, yo, we do some really dope shit. And the 2021 Kind of Funny Game of the Year Gamescast is a perfect example of us doing dope shit. And I love it for every single way, including the winner. I love how we got there. I love all the stuff. I am very surprised, but I think it's very well deserved at the end of the day. So fantastic stuff. You should go check it out.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, the Kind of Funny Gamescast is live right now. YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, podcast services around the globe. And of course, you can get it anywhere you want to. You get it on Patreon.com/KindofFunnyGames for no ads and the post show for a bless who that I was just on fire for. Is it enough to win? You'll have to find out there. But I've always been good at that show. But you take 3 months off of a trivia show, you come back. How are you going to do? Nobody knows. But of course, it's a huge episode. It's your usual Gamescast crew. But then we add in Mike. We add in Paris. We add in Janet. We have just Barrett. And then we gave Barrett quietly our top 10 lists of games for the year. He then gives them points. And then we go through and find out one and all as we go. And again, shout out to Barrett Courtney, the one, the only CEO Junior, who went through and made polished presentation graphics for each one of them, announcing which one it was. It was a fantastic episode. You all have to go check out. But enough about us promoting our stuff. Let's promote other things in the video game world. Like the big question, is the new Pokemon game going to be good? What games got a DICE award nomination and so much more? We're going to go over it all because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindofFunnyGames, or you can write in to be on it. You could be a Patreon producer. You could get the show ad-free. You could get the exclusive post show we do for every episode. You could watch the Gamescast we record live alongside a bunch of other cool stuff. There's a lot of stuff you'd get if you support us on Patreon.com/KindofFunnyGames. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. For this show, you could be watching live on Twitch.tv/KindofFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindofFunny.com/YoureWrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Of course, if that's not your jam, you could get this show later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Of course, you'd have to listen to the ads. Of course, you wouldn't be able to write in. Of course, you wouldn't be watching it live. Of course, you wouldn't get any of the benefits of Patreon, but you still get a damn good show. And if none of that sounds like a great way to support Kind of Funny, why not use the creator code on the Epic Game Store, Kind of Funny, all one word. Of course, if you're like, I don't use PC, I don't use the Epic Game Store, Maybe you play Fortnite. Maybe you play Rocket League. Maybe you play Fall Guys. Maybe you play the next thing, Epic will buy. You can use it on that on all platforms. Again, creator code kind of funny for anything in the Epic Games Store. Housekeeping before we get going. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, can you believe it? Nick Scarpino is officially 55 years old. Go over to Nick_Scarpino on Twitter. Send him some sweet, nasty birthday love. Like I said, the Gamescast is up right now. You should check it out. And then tomorrow, a huge day for Kind of Funny content, Tim. And I think you can get it live here on Twitch. You can get it later on stuff. Some of it's going up way later than that, but it's a bevy of content, Tim.
Let me take this away, Greg, because there's a couple fun changes that I don't know how aware you are of because you've been out. So there's,
I won't lie to you. I wake up, I punch myself in the face, I do a pound of blow, and I just come down and talk. I don't know what's happening anywhere.
A pound of blow. It's like every once in a while, Greg Miller will say something in a way that doesn't feel Greg Miller, and a pound of blow is definitely more a Nick thing than a Greg thing. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
I don't think they count in pounds, do they, Kevin?
I don't know.
Kilos is typical, but pounds, it's just a different. Like, I'm sure in America, no, they still do kilos. Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm watching Euphoria, so I'm all about drugs now. You know,
gotcha.
At least talking about them.
That makes sense. We are doing our screencast review of Peacemaker episodes 1-3. You can watch the show now, episodes 1-3 on HBO Max. But tomorrow morning, we're going to be recording our review of those episodes. And now that screencast is officially a real show for us again, you can watch it live on patreon.com/kindoffunny if you are a silver supporter. So if you want to watch us as soon as possible, record these reactions. Patreon is the way you're going to be able to do that. Otherwise, it'll go up later in the day. Then after that, you can talk about this everybody's golf thing, Greg.
Yeah, tomorrow on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or we're playing everybody's golf. And yeah, me and Andy are going to go at it, of course, and continue our video game golf rivalry. But we're bringing in like everybody. Mike's playing. Kevin, are you playing? I know. Joey's playing. Who's out?
No, Bowie? I'm not paying. I'm sorry.
Blessing will be there unless he, you know, has some excuse to get out of it. Lots of stuff happening. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Everybody's golf tomorrow. One big play session. And again, as I tweeted last night, this is me sounding the klaxons that I am back in everybody's golf. You should all re-download it. That way, when I tweet, hey, who wants to join me in my 20-person room, you can come play golf with me. Anyways, sorry. Mm-hmm. On top of that, Tim, what else you got?
Then we got Scream in Review returning to the franchise with Scream 5, 5 Cream, whatever you want to call it. We're going to be doing it live on patreon.com/kindoffunny as well tomorrow, 3 p.m. with James and Elise Willems. Very exciting stuff. And then that episode will go live for everyone else on YouTube on Monday.
And then finally, the XCast records tomorrow, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can check it out. And then if you don't want to see it there, you can catch the XCast on Saturday morning live, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Basically, what we're saying is there's a lot of content tomorrow. You can be watching it live on all the Patreons. Get in there. Get a gold subscription. Catch it all.
And last thing I want to say about screencast stuff is live now is our episode 3 review of The Book of Boba Fett, youtube.com/kindoffunny. It's me, it's Barrett, it's Anthony Carboni, and it's Sage Ryan from Smosh Games. Super dope crew talking about stuff. I don't necessarily want to say dope stuff. It's stuff. It's not bad stuff.
Yeah,
but go check it out.
I'll tell you what. We watched the first episode of Boba Fett, and I kind of forgot that it existed. And so then every week somebody pops up and they have some take about how much they hate Boba Fett for some other reason. And this week it was scooters. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can find out what they think about it when they record it, or when that's up right now. youtube.com/kindoffunny. Thank you to our Craig, Patreon producers. What?
Craig, can you read what the poster is called, please? Please
can
read
I read
the poster.
What the poster's called?
Uh-huh. Go ahead, read it for me. What is it? What does the poster say? I'm showing
oh,
you.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I did not see this. Okay. We're looking at the Scream 5 poster. It says, time to bend the rules.
No, what is the name of the movie according to this poster?
Undeniably
real poster.
Shut up, Tim.
5 Cream. But I mean, like, you see that this isn't a real poster. It has Hayden Panettiere in front, and that's
not. Is she not in it? No, she's in it. She's in it.
She's in 4. She's not in this. I mean, I hope she's in this. I'll lose my fucking shit if Kirby returns.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Pranksky. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, DoorDash, and Chime, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I got, in honor of 5 Cream, 5 stories on the Roper Report today.
Baker's Dozen.
Number one, Tim, let's begin with a question. Will Pokemon Legends Arceus be good? Nintendo has posted a Nintendo has posted a 13-minute gameplay preview. Kev and I have B-roll there if you want to toss it up and let it roll. You can hop around, Kev. I don't know what's going to happen if we're going to get claimed and then fired, but it doesn't matter. And here's what I want you to know. Tim, let's dial it back a second. Mm-hmm. Maybe everybody out there is like me, an adult, right, who doesn't follow the cartoons and the animes and what's going on in my Monster Hunter Academia. They don't know what's going on. So what is Pokemon Legends Arceus all about, and why are people excited for it?
So people are really excited about this because this is the first time, debatably in many years, but most would say ever, that we're getting a full-on Pokemon console RPG that is not just the traditional handheld adventure that we've had of going through the gym battles, getting to the Elite Four, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On the GameCube, we did have Pokemon Colosseum and XD Gale of Darkness that were different style RPGs, like console RPGs. But what separates this is what everyone really was thinking about when back in 1998 we were talking about, oh my god, imagine what a Pokemon on N64 could look like. Our idea was open world, you're just going out there, you're catching Pokemon, you're fighting them in more real time, all that stuff, like kind of a game that feels more like the anime, right? Like kind of like what you imagine the evolution of Pokemon would be.
I got it. I understand.
And so we're finally getting it here, it seems to be wrapped in a Breath of the Wild style kind of wrapping paper, and all of that is really exciting, right? What this is specifically, it takes place in the past, I think 1,000 years in the past, in the Sinnoh region, which is Gen 4, the Platinum Diamond and Pearl games that we just got the remakes of in November, with Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
Unless
so it's the same locations that everybody's played through in the last couple months, but 1,000 years earlier, right?
100 years,
people are saying. 100 years earlier. So,
I mean, it might as well be 1,000 years.
So that's kind of cool because I feel like they can have some fun, like, lore stuff and kind of, like, be like, well, where was this thing or the start of this or all that type of stuff? But also that results in different forms of Pokemon we're familiar with, which is something they introduced back in Sun and Moon with the Alola forms of, like,
what kind of form of Porygon am I going to get?
I don't know. We don't know.
He actually didn't exist. He was made in a lab. So
that is true.
He wasn't existing then.
Porygon, one of the man-made Pokemon.
In the new thing of, you know, couldn't somebody? There's got to be a Doctor Strange-like Pokemon.
No,
that can
I think at this point he was an idea, maybe a drawing, a painting in a room.
You're telling me Pikachu's never been brushing his teeth, farted weird, and opened up a time portal behind him? I don't believe it.
See, here's the thing though, Greg. Pokemon doesn't evolve, ironically. Like, over time, Pokemon, we're not hitting the multiverse saga in Pokemon for another 100 years, okay? Like, it's gonna be, we're finally getting the thing we've been talking about since 1998. So that's kind of what this is.
So here's my question then, because, like, why, if it's what you've all wanted since 1994 or whatever, like, I obviously have been tangentially aware of Arceus. I remember I was on the Reacts when it got announced and yada yada, but it comes and goes and something happens. But then it's been 3 months of being a father and now I'm back at work and it's coming up. And so when
you weren't on that reaction.
Oh, what? I wasn't? Okay, then that makes even more sense. Okay.
Yeah, because that reaction was like a 6 a.m. Nintendo.
But I watched it. That's what I did. I watched it. It was you and Bless, right?
We lost our mind.
Yeah. And so I remember that, and then I feel like the next kind of funny conversation I heard about it was when we were doing Fantasy Critic, and everybody's like, I don't really know if it's going to pan out, blah, blah. And then this video dropped today, and I clicked around on it, and I'm like, this is a Pokemon I want to play. You know what I mean? Like, I played the one from before the pandemic, 2019. I played that one with Jen. Huh?
Let's go.
Let's Pikachu go. And Eevee. Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, right. And so, like, and I drop into a Pokemon every so often, but it's like not one I haven't ever been hooked or a fan. Like, this actually looks interesting. The whole actually getting to roam the environments and have a more RPG like RPG. I don't know, man. I think it looks good, but people are worried about it just because it's different, or has there been red flags about it? I put out a poll just to see what's going on twitter.com/gameovergreggy. I said, I need data for Kind of Funny Games Daily. It's Pokemon Legends Arceus. And am I saying it right, by the way? I'm not trying to do a Greg bit. Arceus?
Yes. This is the thing where no matter what way we say it, people are going to say we're saying it wrong. But Arceus is the way I say it. And I've seen people I respect say it.
Okay. Going to be. And I said, excellent, good, fine, or bad. Right now, fine is in the lead with 45% of the vote. Right behind it is good with 33%. Then it's bad with 10.6% and excellent with 10%. So it's like, Is it just because it's different? Is it because of the art style? Is it because somebody previewed it and didn't like it? I don't understand why people aren't like, oh man, this looks great.
It's a Pokemon mix of expectations and like years and years and years of buildup. And I think the real thing for me is that it's different, but it's not different enough. Like you're looking at the battle system here and it's kind of like, all right, well, it still is just the four move Pokemon battle system.
It's a new look to what you already knew.
Yeah, but it's like not new enough, I don't think. But the bigger thing is the Breath of the Wild thing. When you make a game look like this, then the comparisons are, wow, this is going to be the Breath of the Wild of Pokemon. And it doesn't seem to be that. Like Breath of the Wild, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean it looks this way. It doesn't just mean it has this kind of, you know, kind of painting look. What it means is we're bucking the trend of what we've done before. They're like in Zelda, there aren't dungeons. There aren't, it's not that story based, like all that stuff. Whereas with this, it kind of just seems empty.
Okay.
You know, like it so far, it kind of looks like the things people didn't love about Breath of the Wild as opposed to the things that they did. And the other thing is we just haven't seen that much of it. And it looks way better here than it has looked in the last couple trailers. So progressively, the game's been looking a lot better, but that just results in this, which doesn't look fantastic. You know, I don't think this looks bad. I think it looks good. I'm totally fine with this. I do worry about the frame rate. I do not think it's going to go well. Like all the early trailers, the frame rate was doo-doo butter at best. Like it was bad. Here it's like, all right, at least it looks like it's kind of working. But like a lot of that stuff I'm just talking about is a lot of little examples that kind of add up to, I'm trepidatious about this. You know, I don't, if you would ask me, is this game going to be good? Or like the scale that you had, I have no idea where it lands with me because like I said last year, I kept talking about Halo Infinite and being worried about the game.
They got colored caps. What's not to love?
So many.
We've been having that for a while, but maybe not enough. I don't know.
But now it's going to look more, it's going to have more impact because I'm running around the world talking to people. You know,
I mean, what you just said, it sounds very similar to Sword and Shield. Like, I don't know. But yeah, it's with Halo Infinite, I was really worried because we hadn't seen much of it.
Sure.
And I was like, that doesn't seem like a good sign. And everything we're seeing doesn't look that great. And that turned out fantastic. And I loved it. So I'm hoping we get that type of situation here where every single thing we see, it's like, we're not seeing a lot of this. And what we're seeing doesn't necessarily look great. And I hope it's amazing. I just don't believe it's going to be. And I think the biggest reason for that is in contrast to Halo Infinite, which we've heard about for many, 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 many years, we heard about this for the first time like 8 months ago. So for a game that seems to be this big and ambitious, I can't believe it's a couple weeks away. That's what gives me the most worry, that it looks and it's being presented to us as if it's Breath of the Wild, but I really think it's just going to be more, it's going to more fall into, oh, it's a Pokemon spinoff, as opposed to this is the future of Pokemon.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes sense to me.
Why was this woman fighting this Pokemon with like rocks?
I'm asking. Now side eggs out.
I mean, does this guy look like he's going to go peacefully into a ball? No, you got to clobber him a bit.
No,
you know
but I mean? Like she was like right there. She's fighting him. There's no Pokemon involved.
Kev, would you believe me that that's a Scyther evolution?
Of course. Cleaver. It's very easy to see.
But yeah, it's that's all part of the thing. But I mean, that goes back to like the anime shit, right, Kev? Where it's like catching the Pokemon wasn't necessarily always just battling. Yeah. It's like just weakening them.
Ash would kick the shit out of fucking some Pokemon. I remember that. Poor little Squirtle. He didn't go willingly.
I'm really excited about it. But yeah, it's one of those things where I kind of wish it was more than it seems to be.
Like, sure, I understand that.
Yeah, and you know, the game's not out. Hopefully it's amazing. But like everything we're seeing doesn't make me believe it's going to be, especially like the people making it and everything. Like they haven't really proven they're ready for this. So this might be their big moment, but we'll see. And again, we won't have to wait long. Like
January 28th, ladies and gentlemen, coming up January 28th, not far off for you to find out if Pokemon Legends Arceus is good. But I'm interested. That makes me more interested than the one that just came before it, which one that just came out? Sword and Shield.
Brilliant Diamond, Shining
Brilliant Pearl. Diamond. Like, I was like, all right, I feel like I've got my fill of it. That looked too samey to me. And again, I'm not a Pokemon fan by any stretch of imagination. So, like, this one I actually will look into and play.
I mean, it's not samey. It is completely different. Like, there are certain elements that are the same. Like, the battle system seems to be, like, at least mostly there's, like, every Pokemon game has some gimmick. This seems to be the style, strong style, whatever they're adding, all that stuff. We'll figure out what that is in the game. But in terms of how the game is presented, it does seem to be very different than anything we've seen before. But it being set 100 years in the past isn't interesting to me, because that leads to the emptiness. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
I'd be more interested in 100 years in the future, honestly. But that just speaks to my takes on stuff. I prefer sci-fi. But in that world,
the Pokemon are the masters, and we're the people in the balls.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Oh, do you ever think about that? It's only a matter of time. These things are like, wait a second. We're so powerful. Why are we letting these meat suits do anything to us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did anybody do that in the cartoon? Was there ever a Pokemon that was like, wait a second, I'm smart? It's like kind of like, and I don't mean to be spoilers, it's kind of like Planet of the Apes, right? Was there ever a Caesar of the Pokemon? Right? Who was like, wait a second.
Do I have a Pokemon movie for you? It's called Pokemon the First Movie.
That's what it's about. There's a Pokemon who wakes up and he's like, wait a second, fuck this.
Mewtwo. He's creating aloud.
Oh, but I know Mewtwo from the other movie. Should I spoil it? I don't know if I should spoil it.
I mean,
Detective Pikachu. He's a Detective Pikachu.
I know Mewtwo.
Please, I've known Mewtwo for a long time, all right? Mm-hmm. This weird fucking hairless cat. You seen him? Why is he like that? It's gross. What's he doing?
Is it a dick? We'll never know.
He has short hair, right? It's definitely a dick. You should see
this is one of those things that, like, if we were in the studio, I'd stop the entire picture. Show right now, and I'd say, let's draw Mewtwo from memory, and I assure you my Mewtwo would not look like
your. I mean, you have a pen, you know?
Fine, then don't show me anything. I'm going to flip over my printout of Blessings Super Fun Game Release Calendar, and I'll draw you a Mewtwo, all right?
I'm going to go to Greg Miller's informal poll while he does that to give results. Oh, did you already give the results?
I did already give the results, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
I was talking. Looking back.
You were killing it. You did exactly what I wanted you to do.
Stall on time here, then. I'm going to read them again.
You can start number two if you want.
Real quick, I just want to go with this. So we got the 10% excellent, 33% good, 45% fine, and 10% bad. I feel like all that's fairly in line with my feelings and like how I think the sentiment of the public would land. But I'm really interested in what the like Metacritic of this does end up being. I think it's going to be hindered, because even if it's surprisingly good, I still think people are going to be like, yeah, but it's still not what we want. And so I think that that's going to hold it back. I don't see this game kind of breaking through the, whoa, this is a mega surprise game. This is way better than we all expected, and getting nines. But I don't know. Pokemon also gets a lot of bumps, but I think those bumps have kind of like lessened over time as games media has kind of gotten new people in, because those new people grew up with Pokemon and are kind of over it in a lot of ways. Moving on to story number two. DICE Awards.
Right there. We can put a pin in this. Hold on. I'm almost there. I'm right.
You can hear
right
it from the wheezing.
Yeah. Well, it is one of those where I started off like, shit, I really don't remember.
You got it. You know him. Remember, he's your friend from Pikachu.
I'll never, ever forget when Greg drew Diddy Kong, and it was terrifying.
Oh, let me put a little bit of shading in here, because I don't want his belly to get distracted.
You don't need to do shading. I'll tell you right now. I'm really happy that I asked you to draw this.
Oh, man. Yeah, Kev. Good job.
I knew today was going to be a good day for content, and I am delivering. Oh, my God.
Me hit this.
You wake up some days and you feel it, ladies and gentlemen. You say, the power of Satan's in me, and I'm going to fucking crush it. Here we are. All right, you ready? This is what I think Mewtwo looks like. So not that far off. I knew that
pretty good. Weird
little horns or whatever. Yeah. I knew that. I knew it had some kind of coloration on his belly.
That's him in the movie.
If you showed me that picture and you're like,
no,
like, who's that Pokemon? I would say it's Mewtwo. So you kind of nailed it there. Like,
now what I'd like to do is that what I remember from Mewtwo, right, of course, and he has that thing on his head, right? I remember him being more of a psychic kind of guy, right? And being like kind of telekinetic. That's why I gave him the little arms and the little just dangling legs, because he doesn't use those muscles. He just uses his mind. You know?
Because
he flew. Remember, like, it's Detective Pikachu. Mm-hmm. Remember, he's like, woo, he like flew over there and did shit.
He can hop around. Like, in the movie, he's got.
Sure. I mean, those legs can do something. They're not just completely dead.
They're muscle.
He's got quads. He's got quads. He's got Triple H size quads there.
Yeah, but Kev, go back to like the actual official art. I hate this picture. Yeah. So you see, is it a tail? Is it a dick? I don't know.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
dicking out with Scarpino. Number two on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. The Dice Awards have announced their nominations for the 2022 Dice Summit. I'll read from the beginning of it before we talk about some of the highlights of the awards. The Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, AIAS, is pleased to announce the nominees for its 25th annual Dice Awards. The video game industry's premier peer-juried awards show, co-hosted for the sixth year by Greg Miller and Jessica Chobot. Jessica Chobot's actually first in the press release, but for some reason I read my name. The winners will be revealed at a special 25th anniversary edition of the Dice Awards ceremony and live stream by the official media partner IGN on February 24th at the Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas as the culmination of the week-long industry gathering at the 2022 Dice Summit. 59 games released in 2021 received nominations. Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart leads the pack with 9 nominations, followed by Deathloop earning 8. Tying for 6 nominations each are Inscription and It Takes Two, with Returnal earning 5 nods, and Kena Bridge of Spirits and Resident Evil Village each taking 4. Finalists for 2021's top honor Game of the Year are Deathloop, Inscription, It Takes Two, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and Returnal. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
First off, I'm back. They can't keep me out. You know what I mean?
Oh,
me,
yeah. Congrats, Greg. Congrats. That's awesome. I love that it keeps happening. And you guys can you keep killing
6 years of it? I can't even. That sounds outrageous.
That's nuts. I mean, I didn't know. And this just shows how little we've been talking, and I miss you, Greg, and I want to be friends again. But this morning I woke up and I saw your tweet about it. I'm like, oh, shit, he's doing it again. 6 years. Whoa. Like, that's – we've been doing that, like – I'm just trying to even, like – think about 6 years ago, like where we were a few hosting Dice. Like, that's such a different ass world, man.
For sure, right? Because it would have been 2016 then, right? It would have been the first mm-hmm. one. Because if the, you know, the story goes is that what got me the awards hosting gig was Game Awards, my speech at 2015 when I won Trending Gamer.
That's
because
right.
Dice reached out afterwards and was like, your speech kind of sums up what we want Dice Awards to be. Like, it's if you're not aware, Dice is an industry summit where, rather than like GDC, which is open to everybody, well, that sounds weird, but like where everybody can buy a ticket, Dice is more like, that's where Phil Spencer is there, and that's where Mark Cerny is there, and that's where all the heads come together to do industry roundtables to hopefully share information or learn things from guest speakers, to then trickle that information back to their studios and their companies to try to change stuff or see what other cool people are doing. And so when they reached out, they were like, that's what kind of what we want Dice Awards to morph into, is that something is more hosted by gamers, because before they had celebrities, and there's nothing wrong with that, I'm sure, not to take away from former hosts who played games and are also just movie stars, but they were like, we want it to be more grassroots, like we think of the actual Dice organization, that it is like a industry peer event rather than this thing. And the Dice Awards are all voted by the Dice members, so it always cracks me up when Untitled Goose Game wins Game of the Year and the Twitch chat is like, what a bunch of fucking idiots who, and like, the idiots who voted on these are the people who made your favorite games, like these are the people who make the video games you love voting on it. It's not us chuckleheads coming in and saying anything. It's only what's going on there. I digress.
Yeah,
it's crazy that it's been 6 years. I can't wait to do it again. But more importantly, let's talk about the nominations. First off, we already did Game of the Year here. Deathloop, Inscription, It Takes Two, Ratchet & Clank, and Returnal. Again, no spoilers for maybe what did or didn't make our kind of funny Game of the Year show that's up right now as a Gamescast. But does this list surprise you, Tim?
No. I mean, look, we keep talking about this as more and more lists are coming out. And, you know, now being halfway through January, I think most outlets have put their awards out, and I just love how varied everything is. I don't think we've ever seen a year with this much diversity in terms of the actual Game of the Year winner, you know. Like going to a Best Buy in a couple years, there's actually, there probably won't be physical games anymore, but if there were, there'd be like the most Game of the Year editions imaginable,
for sure.
Like, there were, everyone always kind of stretched the definition of that, but like now it'd be like, wow, every single game is a nominee at some point, because there's just so much variation from AAA to indie, from exclusive to third party, like everything like has a equal chance in a year that didn't have the big ones, right? And that's totally fine and great, honestly, because I think it kind of forces people to branch out a bit. And on top of that, it's like, it was just such a quality year. Like, there was such a good pace of games that came out throughout the year that I kind of feel like everybody had something to be really stoked about multiple times in the year. So that results in, I think, a lot of interesting conversations and decisions when it comes down to when there has to be one. There's only one winner. But even then, I think the conversation gets like dicey when you start talking about the nominees, because people are always upset about, how did Returnal not make this? How did Kena not make that? Like, people are passionate about games like on every level, even when we're talking about seven nominees, there are still things that aren't going to make the cut because that's just how many quality games could make the, or like people feel deserve to win these categories. So great year of games. I just love seeing how much difference there is. I love that it takes two, one at the Game Awards, and that Forza Horizon won at IGN, and that whatever one for us did for us. Go check it out. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Like, it's just very cool. The Deathloop for GameSpot. Like, all of these games are getting the one from so many people. And I wonder what that's going to mean for DICE.
Exactly. You steal the words from my mouth. What I want you to do right now is predict what will win DICE Game of the Year for 2021. 2022 is DICE, but for 2021's games, right? And again, Deathloop, Inscription, It Takes Two, Ratchet and Clank, and Returnal. Remember, again, as I know I'm saying this for the audience more than you, Tim, that this is what's voted on by DICE members, who are the people who are, of course, the developers who make your games.
And so with that, I think it's going to be Inscription or Returnal. Mm-hmm. And if I had to choose one, I think I'd go Inscription.
Oh, man. See, I am with you in your line of thinking. I would also put It Takes Two into the conversation, right? Because I think when you start talking about developers, we're talking about game design more than we talk about game design. Not we, but, you know, the royal we as gamers, whatever. And so I honestly think I would say Returnal falls away and it becomes a race between Inscription and It Takes Two. And then I think it becomes the somewhat problematic that Inscription came out later in the year. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when you come out, and it came out in October, I still haven't played Inscription. You know, Andy's always on me. I'm actually going to buy it and hopefully start it this week now that we've got a new schedule that allows time to play games. And it's that weird thing of how many people have played Inscription? Is it enough juice behind it? But I still think even saying that, I don't want to take away from how great It Takes Two is. You know what I mean? I talk about It Takes Two all the time and the quality of gameplay when it won game awards, right? Like, I was able to talk about that. I think that might stand out to people too. And the fact that, you know, Haze Light, some would say, did it again, but definitely did it in a way that outpaced any other stuff before, of making a co-op game fun, right? Making this co-op game that wasn't annoying to play with somebody else or it felt like a side mode. Like, that's how you play this game and it works from start to finish.
So I want to have a little fun here, Greg.
I want to have some fun.
The DICE Awards Wikipedia page to look at previous year's Game of the Year winner, because I want to see if there's any type of pattern.
How many times have I mentioned on it?
On this?
Control F, Greg. Okay. Greg. Just Greg. It'll be easier to find that way. In case they put like Greg Trending Gamer Miller or Greg 6-time host of the DICE Awards Miller, you know.
There are 7 mentions of Greg. 4 of them are you.
Yeah, that's right. Goddamn.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Greg.
You talk about my good jokes. Remember that E3 joke I made? And then they banned me from E3, and then I hosted E3. It's fucked up.
It's fucked up. So I want to read through the Game of the Year winners. And like, I actually want to go all the way back to the first DICE, because it's just kind of fun to see this. 1997, GoldenEye, 007. 98, Ocarina of Time. 99, The Sims. 2000, Diablo 2. 2001, Halo Combat Evolved. 2002, Battlefield 1942. 2003, Call of Duty 1. 2004, Half-Life 2. 2005, God of War. 2006, Gears of War. 2007, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. So far, it's like that is such a good example of video games. Right? Wow.
What an insult you're about to make to Little Big Planet. You cut it off right there to then be like, these are video games. And then Little 2008, Big
Little Big Planet. 2009, Uncharted 2. 2010, Mass Effect 2. 2011, Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. 2012, Journey. 2013, Last of Us. 2014, Dragon Age Inquisition. 2015, Fallout 4.
Yeah, that's an interesting one too. That caught my eye too.
That's a weird one. 2016, Overwatch. 2017, Breath of the Wild. 2018, God of War. 2019, Untitled Goose Game. 2020, Hades. So Untitled Goose Game was definitely the hard right turn. Remember though, 2019 was a weird year compared to the previous years that had the clear answers, right? Sure. So 2019 was more similar to 2021, where it's kind of split, where there's a whole bunch, like a lot of people have different answers. So I think that kind of resulted in splitting the vote enough to give room to Untitled Goose Game getting its due. So looking at this year's, I can see that happening again between a lot of the bigger ones. I don't know if It Takes Two has the pull in the way you're talking about. So I still think it's between Returnal and Inscription with that, because I think that everything you said about It Takes Two from a game design perspective, I think more people would fight for Returnal for, because of from a pure gameplay, it did the thing, and it did the thing very well.
That's true.
And it pushed tech forward and did all the PS5 stuff and all that, you know? But Inscription has that Hades quality. It has that more than Goose Game quality. So we'll see. My money's on Inscription, but I think Returnal's a close number two. I don't think it'll be Ratchet. I don't think it'll be Deathloop.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Again, two great games, not taken away from them, but I think this is a three-horse race over here, and maybe to your point, a two-point horror. But Inscription will be the one to watch. Inscription, I think, you know, has a lot of people at the other outlets, people like Andy in our outlet, right, that are banging the drum for it, but isn't enough to move the needle for everybody else. Yeah, go for it.
Inscription did get Polygon's, I want to say, Game of the Year. And not that that matters, but...
What matters? That, I mean, that, you know, to the argument we're making that people are loving that game.
Oh, yeah, no. So what I'm saying, though, is I was going to make an argument for Returnal. As far as I know, Returnal hasn't won anyone's big Game of the Year. And I just love that nobody's shared Game of the Year so far from the big guys. What did Game Informer give?
I don't know. Psychonauts? Did they give Psychonauts? Somebody gave Psychonauts.
I think they did.
Tim's looking up Game Informer.
I'm looking it up.
While you do that, here's some other highlights that I have out here, right? Outstanding achievement and character for the DICE Awards. Deathloop's Colt, Kena from Kena, Life is Strange, True Colors, Alex Chen, that's the winner. Everybody vote for it. Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, Rivet, and then Resident Evil Village Lady, Demestra.
Game Informer gave it to Halo Infinite. So it's like, this is nuts, man. You know what? Wow. I'm with Returnal, man. Let's give everyone the Game of the Year award this year.
All right, let's see what happens. From there on out, outstanding achievement in original musical composition, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Canterbury Bridge of Spirits, Psychonauts 2, Returnal. I was surprised not to see the game you love pop up on this.
Artful Escape?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, Artful Escape, I think, will go down in history as one of the things that I'm like, I just don't understand why I see something in it that seems like nobody else does. Not nobody, but like the general populace doesn't.
It is a hot or cold thing, as you talked about in the review, right?
Well, I mean, I didn't say that. I'm shocked at that. Like, I don't see it that way. So it's weird. Like, shout out to Gary Whitta. He gets it. But yeah, it's just, it's funny to me. I love that game, and I think everyone should give it a shot. But I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe everyone shouldn't.
Well, you give it a shot to see if you like it, right? It was Game Pass. Is it still Game Pass?
It is Game Pass.
Yeah, I was saying, okay, you're fine then. Outstanding achievement story, Before Your Eyes getting love here. Inscription, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Psychonauts 2, and The Forgotten City. A nice diverse group there that I know are all, you know, fan favorites. People behind those, like Janet behind Before Your Eyes, Blessing behind Forgotten City, you behind Guardians, Barrett behind Psychonauts, Andy behind Inscription. Like, it's nice to see them get some flowers here on the stage, right? Action Game of the Year, I found the last one here interesting. Deathloop, Halo Infinite, Metroid Dread, Returnal, and then The Ascent. Ascent is one of those ones that I felt like came and maybe under-delivered. Definitely for me, under-delivered on my expectations. It seemed like that was kind of the vibe everywhere, but interesting to see it get included here. Adventure Game of the Year, Death's Door, It Takes Two, Guardians of the Galaxy, Psychonauts 2, Resident Evil Village. Family Game of the Year, Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Happy Home Paradise, Cozy Grove, Mario Party Superstars, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, WarioWare. Get it together, man. Outstanding achievement for independent game, Death's Door, Inscription, Loop Hero, Sable, Unpacking. Nice to see Unpacking get a nod here too. Loop Hero gets some nods there. And then, as we already said, Game of the Year, Deathloop, Inscription, It Takes Two, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, and Returnal. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find out who takes home the honor February 24th, IGN.com, IGN streaming platforms. It'll be the DICE Awards for 2022, hosted by myself and the one, the only, Jessica Chobot.
Very cool.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see what Jessica's been up to at the DICE Awards. I can't wait to see what I've been up to. But if you want to know what I was up to way quicker than anybody else, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where, of course, you can write in and be part of the show. You can get the post shows we do. You can watch most of the shows live as we record them. And, of course, you can get this very episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free, like every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily, the Gamescast, PS I Love You, and Xcast. But guess what, Jack? You didn't go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So let's have a word from our sponsor. Relationships aren't perfect, and MeUndies is celebrating our imperfectly perfect matches with their new Valentine's Day collection. I don't have to read the ad anymore. I can just tell you I'm wearing MeUndies, ladies and gentlemen. Always have been, always. Well, you know, not always, I guess. But what happened is I had a bunch of underwear I didn't like that much, and then I tried a couple pairs of MeUndies, and I was like, these are amazing, and I ordered a whole bunch of MeUndies, and now it's all I wear. And I am due for more. Maybe I'll do it here. Back to the ad. Gifting underwear for Valentine's Day? Wow, real groundbreaking. Express your one-of-a-kind relationship when you match your bottom half to your better half in fun limited edition prints. And if you're single, don't worry, you can mingle in matching pairs with your friends or even get dog hoodies and buddy bands to match your four-legged pal. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For a limited time only, get 25% off your first order of matching pairs for Valentine's Day. And as a first-time purchaser, you can also get 15% off in free shipping right now to your door. To get 25% off matching pairs, 15% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Guess what I use all the time, ladies and gentlemen? DoorDash. That's right. I come down here. I record the shows. I come upstairs. Jen's taking care of our newborn. Is a three-month-old. Our three-month-old. And guess what? We're both too tired to make food, so we order on DoorDash. We do it all the time, and you should too. You've got back-to-back meetings, errands to run, and chores to take care of. What's the secret to clearing your to-do list? A little help from DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essential items delivered to your door with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos. Choose from your favorite national chains like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download, that's you, download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that code is GAMES2021. 21 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change. Terms apply. Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, no foreign transaction fees, and no service fees. Get all that and then some with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card. They've also got over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs all over the place, like at most Walgreens, 7-Elevens, or CVSs. You can access your money when you need it, where you need it. Make sure you make the first good decision of the new year and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at a MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Sometimes, pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds. Boop-boo! We're back. Number three on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. We have Hitman 3's Year 2 content revealed. I'm going to read right from an IO Interactive press release I got. The bullet points go like this. Elusive Target Arcade, a brand new game mode that takes the elusive target concept to the next level, mixes up the formula, introduces new challenges and unlockable rewards. I should say, sorry, these are coming between January 20th right now and then the end of the year. So if they don't have a date, I think it's all out or floating around like that. But kindoffunny.com/wrong if I screw this up. Freelancer mode. Arriving in spring 2022, Freelancer is a brand new way to play Hitman 3 that introduces roguelike elements, strategic planning, and customizable safe house. A customizable safe house. Hitman 3 VR on PC. Hitman VR comes to PC on January 20th, and the entire world of Assassination Trilogy is fully supported. Here's something interesting. Hitman Trilogy Collection is also coming to Game Pass. The Hitman Trilogy will be available digitally as a single package on January 20th for PS4, PS5, Xbox One Series XS, Epic Games Store, use the creator code kind of funny, Steam, Xbox Game Pass, PC Game Pass, and Game Pass Ultimate. Whew. So Tim, cool. We'll double back to it in a second. Yeah. New technology on PC. Later in 2022, improvements to Hitman 3's impressive technology will include ray tracing, which will create better shadows, reflections, and maps. IO Interactive will also be implementing VRS, variable rate shading, to boost PC performance. And in partnership with Intel, IOI will be one of the first development studios in the world to implement XESS technology. Then Hitman 3 on Steam. As highlighted above, Hitman 3 arrives on Steam to coincide with the start of Year 2 and will have full support for PC VR from day one. Plus, all of the technical improvements mentioned earlier, such as ray tracing, XESS, and variable rate shading when they become available. And then new map details to be revealed. More details about this new map, which is codenamed Rocky, will be revealed for in Year 2, during Year 2, this whole Year 2 thing. Whew. Tim, where do you want to start with this bevy of Hitman news?
I mean, I feel like just talking about the trilogy coming to Game Pass and trilogy being a thing coming everywhere, like, good for them, man. They are just, they nailed it with Hitman. Like, they it was a long time coming. They had the first one, the episodic stuff coming out. They came out with three. They're like, look, it is what it is. We know we have great game design. We know y'all motherfuckers are going to enjoy it. Enough people have talked about it. Shout out to Giant Bomb, you know, banging the drum on that for many years. And, like, here they are. They're just like, look, if y'all haven't heard already, you're about to find out. It's free on Game Pass. Check it out. Everything. So much content.
Drewvenator follows up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, so early this year, when Greg said this might be the best Game Pass month, I thought, okay, I see where he's coming from. It's a great month, but is it really the best? Since then, let me repeat, since that episode, Xbox has announced Rainbow Six Extraction, day one, Hitman 3 Trilogy, bundle, day one, and more to come next Tuesday. Nobody Saves the World, Paparazzi, Windjammers 2 were all not included on the first batch of the month. So my question again, is January truly shaping up to be the best month in Game Pass history? And secondly, could this be the new norm going forward? What's the big game that will drop in February? Dying Light, Elden Ring, LOL? Thanks all, Drewvenator. Tim, you want to sit here and tell me that I'm right, that this is the best month in Game Pass history? I'll allow it.
I mean, it's a great month for sure in terms of variety and in terms of a bunch of games. I just think that, like, with Game Pass at this point, every month's the best month. Like, they're just really delivering at least the last couple months, right? Like, when we're talking, to me, with what I'm looking for in games, I want that big, holy crap, I can't believe this is on Game Pass thing. And, like, we got Forza and Halo in like the same month. So it's like, that's kind of cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course. And then as I pointed out, I think my argument evolved into the month thing, but I was saying at the time the best drop, but then obviously the Mike counters with the Bethesda drop, which of course bringing every Bethesda game is kind of like unfair. But
and then, so that's the thing. So for the sake of discussion and conversation, I think you are right. This is an insane month that is unprecedented in terms of what it's bringing to Game Pass, which is crazy to say because I do feel like every couple month months
we say that,
there's something new happening. Like, Game Pass just continues to be, like, to say it's the greatest value in gaming, which was like, you know, the meme of last year, remains true. But I think it's kind of turning into something else at this point, where it's like, okay, it's not just the best value, like, it is just the best thing in video games, period. Like, it's just going to continue to be more and more of what video games are and can be. And I just love that we are now at this point where asking, oh, is it going to come to Game Pass, isn't a crazy question. It's like a legit, is Dying Light going to come to Game Pass? I don't think it is, but if it did,
launch day, no. By the end of its life cycle, probably.
Oh yeah, end of life cycle for sure. Like, that's the thing, is I'm talking about launch day. I don't think it's that crazy of a question.
Well, I mean, if you want to get fucking crazy, then throw Elden Ring in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
that would be insane.
It would be, and I totally can imagine them doing it. I don't expect them to, but if they announced it, it would just be like, it would just be another headline on Kind of Funny Games Daily. It wouldn't be a earth shattering thing, you know?
Sure.
And that's because that's because Game Pass has just has built this. I mean, the closest thing I can compare Game Pass to is the MCU. Take that for what it's worth. They've just earned our trust. They've earned us that we expect it to be good. So when it's not good, we're like, that's fucking weird. That's a great place to be. And it's rare we're there with video games. I think Sony on the other side is in the same conversation in terms of exclusives, where we expect them to be amazing. So when they're just really good, we're like, oh, that's weird.
All right, yeah, cool. Move on, I guess, yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated to see how Game Pass continues to evolve. I think, of course, getting the Hitman Trilogy Collection is a great move. Obviously, people love Hitman, and, like, you know, that's what we've talked at length about it. Hitman 3's launch, is that, was that the coming out party to get people excited and involved with that? And it was, it seemed like people who bought Hitman 3, I remember, were going back and playing the old games and getting into it. And so, yeah, to see it on Game Pass now, I think is going to open up to a brand new group. And then let alone the fact that IO Interactive's supporting it the way they're supporting it. Hats off to them. Hats off to Game Pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tim, number four on the Roper Report. Xbox Ones are no longer being made. This is Tom Warren over at The Verge. Microsoft has stopped manufacturing all Xbox One consoles. The software giant originally discounted the Xbox One X and digital... and digital Xbox One S ahead of the Xbox Series X launch, then quietly stopped manufacturing the Xbox One S at the end of 2020, leaving retailers to sell out their remaining stock. Quote, to focus on the production of Xbox Series S/S, we stopped production for all Xbox One consoles by the end of 2020, says Cindy Walker, senior director of Xbox console product marketing, in a statement to The Verge. Microsoft's confirmation comes just as a Bloomberg report suggested Sony had planned to end PS4 production at the end of 2021, but that the company will now manufacture around a million PS4 consoles in 2022. Sony has confirmed PS4 production is still ongoing amid struggles by both Microsoft and Sony to meet demand for their latest Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 consoles. Tim, are you surprised that the Xbox One is gone?
I'm not surprised. I do think the end of 2020 is a little surprising to me. Like, I'm surprised that we're just learning about this now, because that was a long time ago.
Sure.
At this point, depending on how you're counting years, that sounds like 10 years ago. but yeah, it's not a big surprise because of the way that Xbox have been kind of pushing their ethos of who they are and what they are, which is, to lead into the last story or lead back to, you know what I'm saying, Game Pass, right? It's like, yeah, it's more of an ecosystem than it is about these consoles in particular. And I think that they kind of just want to get everybody over to the more powerful systems because the games just run better there, even though they ran on the Xbox One as well. So I think there's less of a necessity for them to rely on making sure everyone has the latest and greatest, because there's just options out there. So I think that they're kind of like, because of how they've had their strategy so far, they're at a point that they're years into the next gen. So they're kind of like, we're really focusing on Game Pass. People are playing our games wherever they're playing them, whether it's PC or their various Xbox consoles. When they want an X, when they want an S, cool, they'll get them, and then we'll keep them as Xbox customers because of Game Pass, which is a different strategy to where PlayStation's at, right?
For sure.
They're going to continue putting out the PS4s because their entire thing's based on these exclusives that, so far, we're still at that point where their exclusives are exclusive to PlayStation, meaning PS4 and 5, not just to PS5. For the most part, we had Ratchet, we had some exceptions to the rule, but with Horizon coming out next month, PS4, PS5. Right, they are still pushing this, and that is entirely because of not just supply, but because of the fact that there are 100 plus million PS4s out there that they are caring about equally, if not more, than the PS5, whereas Xbox just cared about Xbox.
They care about the ecosystem, right? Yeah, that's why I found this news not surprising. It's, again, to your point of like, it's interesting we're just hearing about it, that that's happening. But again, it's just seamless the way they had of Xbox One X and Xbox One X and Xbox One S stock was out there, right? And then when they launched the Series S and the Series X, sure, the X is hampered by the chip shortage. But I forget if it was on kind of Funny Games. I guess you're wrong me on my own memory. If it was on Games Daily or if it was on the Predictions episode that was the Xcast, where I asked about console availability, where of course you can't find a PS5, you can't find a Series X for the most part. What were you seeing? And everybody who wrote in live was like, oh, I found S's are out. I can find an S on the store shelves. And I was like, I think I've seen it too, but it's harder to find an X, even though plenty of people wrote in saying, I got X's in my thing, but nobody had PS5s. And so I think that, like, again, Xbox just did it well of, we're moving over to this new thing. You don't need to have it, but we're phasing out the old thing because now there's this, what would have been a mid-tier thing that can just be the lower end now, but is way better than what would have been the lowest end Xbox One X. So it makes sense. It doesn't surprise me. And I mean, they lucked out right on the shortage of chips only really affecting the X, or the semiconductors, I should say, I guess, only affecting S's or X's. But yeah.
Anecdotally for me, I mean, I go to Best Buys and Targets a lot and stuff because I buy physical Blu-rays and shit. So like, oftentimes I have to go to multiple stores to get what I'm looking for because I'm particular. And because of that, I always check out the game section, even though I'm not going to buy anything. Like, I don't need, like, I always have what I need. And if I'm buying anything, I'm buying on Amazon. Like, I have it pre-ordered them already. But I like to go and just kind of see what's up. And definitely just anecdotally, I've seen S's pretty frequently. Every once in a while, I'll see an X. Anytime I've seen a PlayStation 5, there is an argument happening. Like every single time, there's multiple people that are like, I was here first, man. It's mine. Like, I'm trying to buy it. Like, it's always a thing. So,
yeah,
it's interesting where we're at.
Xbox has done so good. Like, you were just brought up with the PS4 to PS5, right? Of the fact that, like, Xbox is just an ecosystem. It makes it so easy of where you want to be and what you want to play on and what you want to have access to, whether it's just on your PC or whether it's, you know, getting a new console. So this makes sense for what they're doing. Fifth and final on the Roper Report, there's a new Uncharted movie poster. Kevin, you want to pull it up for folks? We got the Tom Hollands. You got the Mark Wahlberg. Oh, no.
Whoops. That's not it. That's not it. Let me just. Oh, no.
That's a good one. That's a good one. There was some Mewtwo art here that was based on my art. Yes, that does look like a urinal on his chest.
There it is.
Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg, Uncharted, exclusively in movie theaters, February 18th. Does it look a lot like a game poster you'd see? Tim, where's your hype levels for the Uncharted movie?
Real quick, Kevin Coelho, can you Google Spider-Man No Way Home poster?
Spider-Man.
My first thought seeing this poster today,
yep,
was Spider-Man No Way Home. And then I went to Twitter, and it was everyone's first thought as well. Because this is hilarious, Sony marketing.
That it just looks so much the same.
If you could bring these posters up next to each other, Kev, that would be awesome. They are the exact same format, which I know movie posters at some point, it's like, all right, cool, what else are you going to do? But the fact that both of them are Tom Holland, like, it's just really
shared Tom Holland led joints.
Like, look at that.
Yeah, I can see it. Mm-hmm. I see it.
Mm-hmm. This was an old format that is less commonly used, but was, like, for a while was the standard, I want to say.
Yeah, I see it. Show up some. They put the Star Wars I've seen like that. You know, I've seen the Star Wars like that.
It's the circle, mainly, is what I'm going for. The circle, sure. The title placement and all that. Anyways, I'm whatever about this Uncharted movie. Like, I feel like all the people that are upset about it, like, kind of that rubs. I'm more invested in people saying this sucks than I am in my own interest of the movie, which is never a good place to be, you know, because like I just get such a visceral reaction where I'm just like, what do you think Uncharted is? Like, watching the trailers, I'm like, yeah, this looks like a movie based on the game that's based on a movie. That's just what it is, you know. Every time I see a trailer for this, I'm just like, I'm excited to see some of these set pieces. The latest trailer got me more excited because there's an original set piece. Seeing the pirate ships flying through the air, I'm like, this is fucking awesome. And to me, that's Uncharted, is ridiculous set pieces.
Yeah.
So we've seen a couple hints in the trailers of ones we're going to see, like obviously the cargo plane and all that. I'm excited to see that in live action. I'm excited to see what that translates to, but I'm more excited to see what's original from it and how it stacks up to the major set pieces from the game. So cool.
Yeah, you know, I obviously love Uncharted the games. I don't expect this to resonate with me the way the games do, but I really like Tom Holland. I like him in movies. I like watching him do things. So like him against and you know, opposite Antonio Banderas, like, that sounds like fun. It's not a movie I'm gonna risk it all to go to the movie theater to see. Like, I'll have to wait till it comes to digital or whatever, but cool, looks interesting.
Yeah, you know, Mark Wahlberg's funny. I enjoy seeing him on camera because, like, it's definitely a laugh at, not with type situation. But, like, I like laughing at him, you know?
Yeah. That's there for sure. We'll have to wait and see. You know what I mean? What is that? February? It's 18th. Small on my screen. February 18th. It's right around the corner. But it's still so far away. Tim, if I want to know something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Astroneer on Switch, Eschatos on Switch, the Anacrusis, is that, I say that one right? Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One PC. Okay, good.
Yeah, Anacrusis, Will Smith is working on that. The games industry.
Okay. Dual Princess Switch. Mary Skettler 2 PC. Battle Brothers PS4 and Xbox One. Sense, a cyberpunk ghost story on Xbox One. Rescue Party Live on PC. Nova 111 on Switch. Hocus 2 on Switch. Eternal Radiance on Switch. Dual Princess, I already said, but it's still on Switch. Pixel Game Maker Series game Battle Tycoon on Switch. Sniper Time, the Shooting Range on Switch. Headland on Switch. 2042 Rush and Rush of Ages returned later. later as featured experiences in the Battlefield Portal. And then Spelunky 2 is available today with Xbox Game Pass. New dates for you. Reverie Knights Tactics hits stores January 25th on PC and consoles. Rise of the Third Power, a 16-bit love letter to the glory days of RPGs, will be coming to Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC digital stores February 10th, 2022. King Arthur, Knight's Tale has been moved from February 15th to March 29th. And then RP Golf Legends, but like RPG, they shoved it all together. RP Golf Legends swings to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 on January 20th. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games, including today's Stray Bombay's The Anacrusis, where Will Smith worked on it, but games industry Will Smith, enters early access. This four-player co-op first-person shooter is a ton of fun, featuring an advanced AI director that constantly adapts difficulty and intensity based on your team's performance. If you play on a GeForce RTX GPU, PC, or laptop, your battles against the aliens, the alien menace can be accelerated by using NVIDIA DLSS. Deals of the day for you. Xbox announced new Xbox Live free play days. Master the art of Starfighter combat, dominate the hardcore, or enter a place of gunsmoke and darkness. Star Wars Squadrons, Tennis World Tour 2, and West of Dead are all available this weekend for Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members to play from Thursday, that's right now, until Sunday at midnight. Or I guess Monday morning, 12:01 kind of thing. You know how it is? It's confusing. Mm-hmm. I hate that when I try to say what day it is. You know? Sunday mm-hmm. night. Then Sunday night, Tim. All right. Get off my back.
Complicated.
Tim, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around ding ding the globe. Nanobiologist keeps me honest and said it was Kind of Funny Games Daily earlier this week when I talked about the what do you see for console stuff behind you. Carlos Jacobson says, I miss news here. Looks like a free-to-play battle royale from My Hero Academia got announced. But it doesn't hyperlink.
And I just looked into this. Justin P. says, Spelunky 2 might also be on Game Pass. And I just checked. It is. Spelunky 2 is on Game Pass today.
Oh, my God. First off, fuck you, Justin P., for writing in, and I guess early. And fuck you, Tim, for not listening to me when I talk. That was already on there, everybody. It was the final new date. It's bolded. Spelunky 2 available today with Xbox Game Pass. Because usually that would be underneath the deals of the day that when I would announce what came to Game Pass when I said that this was the best month for Game Pass, all right?
Best month.
I bit my tongue eating my oatmeal.
Yo, did you watch 8-Bit Christmas?
No. I had it on the thing, and every time I mentioned it, Jen didn't really warm up to it, and her friend Allie liked it, and that got it close, but we never moved the needle. And if you remember, that was a book I interviewed the guy on Up at Noon about.
I do not remember that. I saw you tweeting about something around that, and I was like, huh. I was trying to like place it, and I had no memory of that at all. But what a joy that movie was. I am utterly shocked, and y'all should watch it. Jen's going to enjoy it. It's an enjoyable
movie. Well, it's not a Christmas movie. I'll watch it.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, fine. Yeah, you could wait. But like, I think it's just a fun watch regardless.
Well, I got to watch like 18 episodes of Peacemaker or something. One more You're Wrong came in here, and I almost put this in the show, but I saw it was for yesterday. And I said, of course, Blessing did his job, but apparently he didn't. Madog Nick 96 writes in and says, I wrote in yesterday, but it never got mentioned. SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters Clash came out to Switch yesterday. Sick. And when he says I wrote in yesterday, I don't think he means you're wrong. He means he wrote into Kind of Funny Games Daily mailbag. I don't know if my dog Nick 96 worked on SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters Clash or if he's just a big old fan. I appreciate the dedication. You can stop now. You rest, my dog Nick 96. Go play SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters. Enjoy yourself. All right. The news has been spread for this game nobody cares about except you, my dog Nick 96.
Damn.
I'm sure you know what I mean. Since it's SNK, I'm sure Jared Petty's going, oh, doki doki, somewhere in North Carolina. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's hosts are Blessing and Tam.
In 2 days.
Jared Petty's?
Mm-hmm. Cool, Greg. Slack me. Let me know.
That's helpful. I'm glad you did that. If you're watching live, ladies and gentlemen, on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, up next, it's Metal Gear Solid Revengeance with Blessing and Mike. If you want to catch that later, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. If you want to catch what Tim and I are about to do, the Kind of Funny Games post show, you, of course, can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get this show ad free, where you can get your name read, where you can write in with your questions, where, of course, you can get the post show that I just mentioned. However, no buck starts our way, no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. You can get episodes of the show with ads, no post shows. You can't write in because you're watching a thing, but you also don't have the link to write into. Remember, there's all sorts of stuff. Tim's got a really cool duster that, of course, matches the colors of his room, which is always just weird. Just weird that he's this coordinated. I can't even put it together. I dressed a baby the other day, and Jen's like, no, this outfit just does not. This doesn't work. I'm going to go rechange him because he got him an orange thing, green pants with a design on it, and then striped socks. Like, no, this ain't. I mean, he's a baby. No one fucking sees him but us.
I can't wait till your kid is in that point, because like kids always hit a point where it's like, you know, the adults are taking care of them and dressing them, and that means different things depending on who the parents are. But then they hit the point where they're like 4 to 6 where it's just fucking color chaos. Like when these kids like have thoughts to themselves, like
sure,
all the time we'll see kids just like walking across the street with their parents, and you look at them and they're just an explosion of glitter and sparkles sometimes, and stripes and patterns. Like it's amazing. I wish I was a kid.
You were once.
I was once.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.